I have a few more reflections on working with thoughts. Becoming aware, developing the capacity to become aware while thinking is happening is very useful in our meditation practice, in that, it can really help us to stay present more continuously. And I would say it is one of the keys in our daily life practice to become aware of the flow, almost continual stream of thoughts we're having and how they are affecting us. Thoughts are so powerful, they really shape our experience. We can be, just kind of calm and sitting here, and then a thought arises in our mind, and we can feel a surge of emotion that's connected with that. Sometimes thoughts can actually serve to help calm us down. So thoughts are one of the most powerful shapers of our experience. They themselves are conditioned. Thoughts will arise based on conditions, many conditions. They may arise, often can arise based on sense input. Our mind is so associative that we see something and it immediately kind of connects with, first of all, we see something and we think about it. We see that thing and it creates a thought in our mind. That's the thing I'm seeing. And then the associative way our mind works, it links up with other times we've seen that thing, other people we were with when we saw that thing, and there our mind is off. We just start thinking about it. And so thoughts can arise based on the conditions of sense input, also can arise based on the conditions of emotion, how we're feeling, particular emotional state happening based on a conversation or something that's happening. An emotion can arise, and then again, based on that emotion, there can be thoughts about that emotion or thoughts about what I should do in relationship with that emotion. So there's all kinds of ways that thoughts can arise. And then when they do arise, they tend to shape our experience. So a thought will arise. Maybe I've experienced at times a thought arising just kind of seemingly randomly, but I know it's not random, it's conditioned, but a thought of an old friend suddenly pops into my mind. And I wasn't particularly, there was no particular thing that I could see that friend popped into my mind. But then when that friend pops into my mind, a whole host of experiences arises with that. Memories, feelings, connections, relationships. So a whole world of experience, almost the experience of being with the person arises, like the arising of a different kind of me in relationship with that person. So, that there's a whole host of things that arises in dependence on the thought arising, shaping emotions, shaping further thoughts. And so thoughts are a huge part of the conditioning process of our mind and are really worthy of curiosity, understanding, and respect to, not just dismiss them as something, that's not important, because they are so hugely impactful in the shaping of our experience. So to become aware of them is to become aware of the whole process too in which they are embedded, the whole conditioning process in which they are embedded. So one of the ways I think in daily life to begin to kind of have a curiosity around this is and I'd say also in daily life, we need our thoughts, right? I mean, thoughts are helping us to navigate our world. Thoughts are not some random evolutionary accident or error. They are helpful for how we actually live our lives. We can plan, we can think ahead, we can remember and learn from our past experiences. So there's a lot of value to thinking as well. So in our meditation, we often choose to not engage in the content of our thoughts. And yet it's useful to be aware of how the content affects us. So I was pointing to when a thought arises, there's all kinds of things that arise with it, emotions, body sensations, perhaps other thoughts. And so in our meditation, we can know there's a thought happening and what's happening with the thought. Sayadaw Utejaniya sometimes calls this 50-50 mindfulness. What he says is, 50% of the attention knows the thought and knows the content of the thought, and 50% of the attention knows what else is happening with the thought. So this is a kind of a sense of broadening the awareness. The 50-50 is, that may be a little bit of a, not something to take so seriously. In fact, somebody said, "Well, how do I know it's 50-50, Sayadaw?" And he said, "It doesn't matter. It's just, it could be 60-40, it could be 20-30, it could be, just know some part of the awareness is knowing the thought, and some part of the awareness, and it's not even a part, it's more like a broadening of the awareness that is aware of both thought and what's happening with the thought." Carol Wilson, says she doesn't like this term 50-50, and she uses what she says is 360-degree mindfulness. So mindfulness all around, not only to the thought, but also to whatever else is happening. So there is a way that our awareness can be very broad and take in the thoughts, the thinking, and how we are with it at the same time. Now, this is not the way we often think about mindfulness. We often think about mindfulness as taking in one thing at a time. But the experience of mindfulness, especially in daily life, can be much broader than that, where it feels like at the same time we know there's thinking going on and there's, the kind of roiling inside the body, or there's a kind of a spacious connection inside the body, whatever's happening with the thought. So we can know it at the same time. So just in daily life, I'd say this particular kind of curiosity, this 360-degree mindfulness or 50-50 mindfulness, if that works for you, some of the attention on the content, especially in daily life, we need the content. It's like, is this useful content? And how is it affecting me? So sometimes, for instance, planning is useful content. We need to plan. We need to figure out what we're going to be doing for the rest of the day. And yet, what's happening with that planning is perhaps some anxiety. So it's useful to know that while planning is happening, there's a little bit of tension in the body, a little bit of maybe some fear, maybe some confusion. So knowing that, being aware of that, it is possible to have planning happen without the anxiety. So, what you're seeing is you're seeing what's happening with the thought is your conditioning around the thinking. So noticing what's here with the thinking. A good place to play with this too is in that moment when we wake up from thinking, in the moment when we recognize that we've been lost in thinking. So again, the shaping of the thinking when we've not been mindful, there's stuff that's been happening. While we've not been mindful, thoughts going on, they're conditioning our experience. And so the moment of waking up, we often in that moment feel what has been shaped, what has been conditioned in the previous moments. And so to not jump over that or to, feel like, oh, I need to get back to the breath or calm that down or whatever it is, that's what's here. I sometimes use the kind of analogy. It's like, the thinking that has been happening is like it's created a whole world. It's kind of amazing sometimes. It feels like a whole different world that we were in, and it can feel like a bubble is being burst, or that like we've woken up on a different planet or something. And so kind of a curiosity when we wake up into thinking, like, what planet am I on? You know, am I on planet frustration or planet confusion, or maybe I'm on planet calm, because sometimes thinking can actually, the process of thinking can actually calm the mind down. You know, so just be curious, not to have any assumption of what will happen when you kind of notice that shaping process of the thoughts that had been happening. So noticing and being aware of thoughts while they are happening, you know, it can take some time. It can take some time to open to that. If you've been doing a kind of a meditation practice where you've been noticing thinking and noting it thinking and coming back to the breath, there may be a tendency to dismiss thoughts, to kind of just like not be attentive to them. So this is a different form here, and especially in daily life, we're really curious about becoming aware while we're thinking and what's happening with the thinking. So there's a couple of things that you can play with. What I encourage, you know, playing with conscious practice around this is to play with seeing if you can notice how words impact you when you're reading and writing. Because this is a similar kind of process. You know, you take in words, for instance, if you read the news or you're reading a book of some kind, you're taking in words, and those words will impact you, will shape you, will affect you. And so while you're reading, you know, I often, as I look at the news, I'll read a headline and then kind of check, you know, how does that one land? You know, what do I feel from that? Maybe read a couple of sentences. How do I feel from that? You know, often I find the first paragraph or two of news is all I need, you know, for that particular bit of news. It's like, wow, that had an effect, you know. And, you know, it's like our minds want to like read the rest of the news to figure out how to control what's going on. You know, somehow we feel like that the understanding what the situation is, reading more information will help us to control, and often we feel like we will be able to control the feelings that have come up. So, you know, to just be curious, how does the content of thoughts, how does the content of language affect you? So this you can be aware of this anytime you're reading. And also, I'd say, you know, so that's kind of like taking in thoughts, taking in the content of somebody else's mind, you know, when you're reading an article or reading a book or something, you're seeing how the thoughts of somebody else affects you. So this is kind of also heading in the direction of practice in the realm of talking and listening. Because in talking and listening, we're taking in the content of somebody else's thoughts, essentially. So how does it affect you to hear what they're saying? So the content and how it is. It's easier to begin this process by, you know, when you are maybe alone and not in a dynamic situation. And so the reading as an exploration of this is a great place to start that kind of curiosity about how do these words affect my experience. And again, no judgment, just some curiosity. How do these words land? What's the planet that's created as I read these words? And then on the other side, when we want to share or offer the contents of our thoughts in writing, for instance, we can, you know, check in and see. In writing, it slows it down a little bit versus talking, in that we have a little bit of an option to not just spew it out. You know, we may be writing something before we send an email or send a text, and we have a moment perhaps before we hit that send button. You know, if and we can also be, you know, just curious while we're doing the writing. How do the thoughts that I'm shaping affect me? How does it feel as these thoughts that this mind is thinking about sharing with another person? How do these thoughts affect me? How do I imagine these thoughts might affect the other person? So these, again, this is information that's actually available. This is not something we need to figure out. This is not an encouragement to think more about this. It's more a feeling into. As I'm writing this message, how do I feel? Just curiosity about that. What's here as I feel? If I bring, there's a little bit of activity or doing of mind if we're thinking about the other person. You know, if we're sending a message to another person, bringing that person into mind. But that's also something that's often naturally happening as we are writing a message to someone. We are holding them in our minds. We may have an image of them in our minds. We may even have an image of how they'll be responding. So this isn't something we actually have to make up or do or think about doing. It's more opening to what's happening as I'm writing this message to someone. And again, how does it affect me? What's the feeling? And this feeling in a very broad way. I think for me, there's kind of been an expansion of, you know, it feels like a very broad checking in to, you know, with this that's happening, what does the whole system feel like? In a very kind of, it's touching into a very diffuse quality in the heart and mind. And roughly, I'd say it may have a flavor of contraction, or it may have a flavor of spaciousness. So that kind of checking in can help us to land with what's here with that contemplation of sending that message to somebody. So this is a kind of an extension of working with thinking and takes us into the realm of working with talking. There was a question yesterday about suggestions for practicing mindfulness as we speak and listen, and how easy it is for mindfulness to get lost in those situations. And so this is a little bit of support for that. It is, I'd say, one of the most challenging places to bring mindfulness to. It's one of the places we have the most strong habit of not being mindful. And so, you know, the practice of beginning to notice thoughts will be helpful because, you know, often we have to think, we are thinking. It may not feel like it, but we are thinking before we say something. And so to begin to be aware of thoughts can help us to know we're going to say something before we say it, you know, and to perhaps know what we're going to say before we say it. We also can begin to be aware with the thoughts as they arise before we say something, how it affects us. So the work or the exploration around being mindful of thinking is one step, perhaps, in this exploration around mindfulness while talking and listening. And then I'd say, you know, the practice we can do around reading and writing. If you remind yourself sometime, you know, you could put, if you read your news on your tablet or something, you know, regularly at some time of a day, you know, you could, you know, put a little reminder to yourself to try being aware. There's no shame in using reminders to help you be aware in certain situations when you know it's hard to be aware. So, put a little reminder for yourself on the tablet, mindfulness while reading the news or something, to just practice with it, to play with it a little bit. And I think that the use of, thinking about it as play is really helpful. To not think of it as like something really serious, but just like, what can I learn here? What can I learn about my mind? How can maybe I can do this? Maybe I get lost. That's okay. It's just think about it as being very playful with it, and also with the writing. Practice with it. Consciously pick up the exploration of, can I be mindful while I'm writing something? And I'd say, an email message will be easier than a text. the texts are often more, quick. You're doing it more quickly. So, you might start with something that's a little slower. You could try, here's an experiment, picking up pen and paper, which is much slower than, typing on the computer, and writing out an email, if especially if it's something you think is going to be charged, write it out by hand, which gives you more time to feel what's happening. So playing with it in these ways. And then another suggestion for practicing, because I think practice is the key here for becoming mindful while talking and listening. And we don't typically have structured opportunities to practice it. I'll probably have a time later in the week where we, in one of the afternoon sessions, where we take some time to practice that with each other. But you can also, if you have a partner, you have a friend that is a mindfulness practitioner, you could suggest to them, hey, let's have a lunch date where we practice mindfulness while speaking together. And I'll talk more about some of the practices we can do there a little bit later in the week, but that's a place to get started with that. And this, I like to talk about thoughts, thinking early in the week, because it's such a huge part of what happens for us, not only in our meditation, but where we get lost in our daily lives. So let's see. Okay, I think it's time to take a break. So let's take a 10-minute break and come back. I have 8:28 right now in California, so we'll come back at 38 after the hour. I'll see if I can set up a timer. I'm not sure I know how to do that right now, but I'll see if I can. And if not, I'll just announce it again when it's time.